the inveigling or persuading of Parasurama, the axe-wielding fighting avatar, by Amber, the Kashi princess, who'd been captured by Bhishma as a wife with her two sisters for his brothers, to force Bhishma to take her back again, had really got a bit out of hand. Parasurama simply said that he would actually consider conciliation. In other words, he said, I will tell Salva and I'll tell Bhishma that they've got to look after you, take you back, and they'll obey me. And the pushy princess and his friend who he'd come to meet at the hermitage put pressure on him that he actually should kill him. He thought for a while, and then he said, no, I'm not going to do this. I will actually tell him what to do, and I'll do it. He pointed out that when it came to killing anybody in a situation like this, he'd only do it if the Brahmins told him. Well, as I say, he came under more pressure from his friends and from the Amber. And here now, we have a standoff at Kurukshetra, where he demanded that Bhishma should come and see him. Having encamped 3 days at Kurukshetra, Bhishma came up, and they couldn't agree, and that now they have a situation where both of them are sticking their toes in. Parasurama was getting pretty mad with Bhishma because he wouldn't obey him. He was rolling his eyes. Bhishma was trying to be tactful and trying to plead with him that he had no alternative. The situation had been fixed and he couldn't take her back. And Parasurama wasn't having it. It was a duel, was that. And although Bhishma tried to be conciliatory, really, things were going the wrong way. What had happened was that Bhishma quoted to Parasurama saying that King Maruta had come out with... Now, King Maruta was a big shot king. He had the standing of Indra, very well known, very moral, very well respected, but in a different age. And the quote went like this. The quote that... This is Bhishma saying it to actually to Parasurama. A guru's will must be done, be he ever so arrogant, or ignorant of right and wrong, or astray from the righteous path. Well, you can imagine, there'd be no going back after that. Then the usual sort of boasting. In fact, it's Bhishma who did most of it. He pointed out that he said to Parasurama, well, you've been boasting how you've actually killed the whole Kshatriya caste, but you haven't come across a Kshatriya like me at all. You'll be lying on the bow, on the piles of arrows that I will kill you. And of course, Parasurama laughed at that and said, huh, your mother Ganga, goddess Ganga is coming. She will see you dying through my arrows. And so it went on. And anyway, this usual back and forth, it was really terminated by Bhishma saying, well, you're not acting like a guru, and therefore I will fight you. And so he left the field. Sarama went back to his tented area. He went back to Hastinapura to see Queen Mother Sativati. He got her blessings and he came back with his priests and his family priest. He approached the field of battle. It was a flat area they'd chosen. He blew his conch, and similarly, Parasurama blew his conches. And that really brought out all the people around, and also actually brought out the deities. The deities of the skies came to watch, and also, of course, Bhishma's mother, the goddess Ganga. And she went to Bhishma pretty cross. She said to him, what are you doing? He's your guru, he's your teacher. Why are you fighting him? Don't you realize that he's as powerful as Shiva? And she told him not to be so blooming obstinate to a Brahmin of all things. Anyway, he went through the whole process of what happened, how it happened. She saw there's going to be no movement from him. So she went over to Parasurama and said the same thing. Look, Bhishma is your student. Why are you fighting him? Well, certainly he wasn't going to budge. And in fact, all he said is that actually you should stop Bhishma because he's not doing what I told him to do. Well, the challenge had been made. And so Bhishma went over to Parasurama, who was standing there, and he said to him, why are you standing there? I can't fight you. Get yourself a chariot. And so Parasurama came out with the earth is my chariot, the Vedas are my horses, the wind is my charioteer, and all this sort of stuff. And actually, at the same time, he let off a whole bunch of arrows. It was two nets of arrows surrounding Bhishma. And Bhishma could deal with it, right? But when Bhishma looked back, there he was on a celestial. With his mind, he brought forward a celestial chariot, celestial horses, bristling with weapons of all sorts. Bhishma pulled back a bit and he reined in his horses and he put his bow down, got off his chariot about 3 bow lengths from Parasurama. What was that, 500, 600 yards, something like that. And he walked over to him and he bowed to him and he said that, I will fight with you. You're my better, you're my superior. Wish me victory, my lord. Exactly the same words, you know, that Yudhishthira did both to Bhishma and to Drona and to Salya before the beginning of the great battle. Anyway, Parasurama answered, he said, I will not wish for your victory, but I will fight you fairly by the law, and I'm very pleased with your conduct. Immediately, Parasurama sent a whole shower of arrows into Bhishma, which actually checked him, checked a charioteer, checked the horses, but actually Bhishma stood firm. In response, he took an arrow and cut the whole end of Parasurama's bow off, badly wounded him. Quite a lot of blood was coming off. Bhishma felt very bad about this. He was his guru and he was actually causing him a lot of pain. Anyway, the fighting went on for a short time and then the sun went behind the mountains and the charioteer of Bhishma pulled arrows out of himself, out of the horses and out of Bhishma, and they retired for the night. Following day, the ding-dong battle went on, but they were using more celestial weaponry. Right earlier on, in fact, a very nasty set of arrows went into Bhishma. He fainted, and his charioteer quickly took him out of range of Parasurama's arrows until he regained consciousness and went back again. And then a little while later, the same sort of thing happened with Bhishma, firing a very fast arrow. The Parasurama got him in the side, knocked him unconscious. He fell off his chariot. His ascetics and the Kasi girl were nearby. They were very concerned. They rushed over to him, supported him up, and with cool hands and water, they flicked it over him and brought him round. And he once more got on his chariot, and the battle commenced. Again, missiles were thrown and received. At one stage, 12 javelins were hurled by Parasurama at Bhishma. He was able to neutralize them with arrows, and he hurled 12 back. And the pattern was that, in actual fact, both were doing each other harm. A lot of blood was being drawn through Bhishma's weapons from Parasurama, and Bhishma was being quite badly hurt, quite deep cuts from the weapons of Parasurama. Set again, the fighting stopped. They went to their tents, and again, the following morning, the battle commenced, and it seemed to be going on for days. But at the beginning of this next day, Parasurama rained an enormous amount of arrows down on Bhishma, and it really overpowered him for a while. He lost his horses, his charioteer slumped into the front of the chariot, and he himself was knocked temporarily unconscious. In fact, Bhishma was quite fearful because his charioteer had been killed. Being somewhat off guard, a very powerfully thrown javelin from Parasurama hit him in the shoulder and knocked him right off his chariot. And as he fell to the ground, Parasurama gave out a roar of joy, as so did the Kauravas who was with him. But all those people around Bhishma were very saddened and their heads were down. But as he went down, notice that he's surrounded by 8 Brahmins. They'd come down to him and they were actually supporting him, lifting him up. So it's as if he was actually floating on air. He came back, his consciousness came back, and he looked over to his chariot, and there was his mother, the goddess Ganga, who'd actually taken the reins. She'd taken charge of everything. She was looking after his weapons, after the chariot, and after the horses. And the actual 8 Brahmins encouraged them. They said, don't worry, you'll be all right. We will look after you. And then he thanked them and dismissed them once more, took over control of his chariot. So the fighting went on till sundown, and then once again he repaired back to his tent. And as he lay trying to sleep, and it's very painful for him, particularly the right hand, had a very bad wound, the right-hand side is right, he thought to himself, this is stalemate. I'm never going to be able to conquer Parasurama. I'll have to leave it to the deities, to the gods, to see what is best to be done. And in a dream that he had, once more, the 8 Brahmins came to him and said to him, remember a weapon you had in a previous incarnation that was called the Sleep Maker. Recall that, recall the mantra, and then use that on Parasarama tomorrow. And when the Sleep Maker makes him asleep, then he will actually go to sleep, and that would be equivalent to actually killing him. You don't have to kill him, but it'd be recognized as such. And then after that, you can once more use the celestial weaponry awakening to bring him back to life. The following morning, Bhishma was much encouraged, and they started off by actually hurling two Brahma weapons at each other, frightening massive balls of fire that both damaging to the gods and to those below. The whole place shook. Anyway, they were neutralized, and just after that, Bhishma prepared himself to hurl the Sleep Maker at Parasarama. But when he did so, there's a cry from the heavens, from the gods, "Don't do it, don't throw the weapon." And amongst the voices of the gods came Narada's. He said, "The gods are telling you not to throw this weapon, because Parasarama, he's a Brahmin, he's your guru, and you should not show contempt to him in this way." And as he looked up, he saw the eight scholarly Brahmins who'd helped him, smiling at him and nodding at him and saying, "Do as Narada says." So he withdrew the weapon and heard a bellow from Parasarama, and he said, Parasarama said, "I've been beaten by Bhishma. What a fool I am." At the same time, he became surrounded by his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather. In a very kind way, they said to him, "So silly in attacking a Kshatriya like Bhishma. He is controlled by the Kshatriya law, whilst you as a Brahmin, greatest wealth, through the Vedas and through your vows." And they explained that Bhishma was a Vasu. He was one of the deities, and therefore he'd be never defeated. He was withdrawing his weapon because the gods wanted him to. "Don't kill him, because it's destined that Arjuna, the son of Pandu, is destined to kill him." So eventually, Parasarama laid down his arms, and we'll see how he did this, and we'll see how later the princess Amber still begrudged and wanted the death of Bhishma, and how she went about to accomplish this. Well, if you have been, thanks for listening.